Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week news podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to talk about enforcement of Regulation Fair Disclosure. That was a rule passed by the Securities and Exchange Commission 10 years ago to prohibit companies from selective disclosure of material information to certain parties. That is a fancy way of saying if you have something newsworthy to say, Reg FD requires you to announce it to everyone publicly. Now, in the last several months, we've seen the SEC file two enforcement actions under Reg FD, and these are the first enforcement actions we've seen under the rule in several years. To help us understand what might be happening here, we are joined by Jeff Delaney. He is a partner in the corporate securities practice at the law firm of Pillsbury Winthrop Shaw, and he has been keeping an eye on things like this. So, Jeff, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
No problem, Matt.
Now, first question, tell us about the recent Reg FD enforcement we've seen. Were these new methods of selective disclosure the SEC wanted to address, or were they just executives making the same old mistakes when they should have known better?
Yeah, I think, Matt, it's more of the latter, and to give a second of context here, you mentioned that there was a little bit of a hiatus here in terms of SEC enforcement actions in the Reg FD area. You have to go back several years to the Cybel II litigation and enforcement action, and there ultimately the SEC lost because the court ultimately found that the information that was disclosed purportedly in a private setting had actually already been disclosed to the public, and it was kind of a close call when you look at that fact pattern. Mm-hmm. In contrast, the recent SEC enforcement actions that you referred to, the Black action as well as the Prestec Merino action, it looks like the fact patterns there are the more traditional variety under Reg FD, which really are earnings guidance and earnings performance type of violations, where officers of each company provided information that was clearly non-public information in a selective setting, either by an email or in a phone conversation.
Do we have any idea why the SEC decided to act now after such a long period without enforcing Reg FD?
You know, man, I'm speculating, but I think in some sense, I think that that the SEC perhaps, you know, looked at Cybel and said, okay, we really, you know, can't regulate language and some subtleties in the area, and they took the court's decision to heart and frankly waited until there were two very clear fact patterns that they could then have an FD enforcement action reemerge. And I think both the Black and the Prestec Merino enforcement actions, again, you look at those fact patterns and most practitioners would easily say, gee, this is, you know, a classic case of selective disclosure.
Mm-hmm. Now, for compliance purposes, yes, everybody would say training the workforce on Reg FD is important, but what about the catching of improper disclosure and then taking some prompt corrective action? Does the SEC have clear expectations on how to strike a balance between those two solutions?
Well, I guess, Matt, I would say that they have clear expectations, but it's not really a balance. It's like parents sometimes tell their kids, you have to do it all.
Okay.
And their expectations in that regard are very high. And what I mean by doing it all is I think you need to have both an effective compliance program. You need to educate your officers and your investor relations personnel about that program and the underlying legal principles. And then lastly, you need to enforce it and follow it and comply with it. And the reason why I say the SEC really wants companies to do it all is, for example, when you look at the Black enforcement action, there the company that employed the CFO who had sent the selective disclosure email out jumped into action after they found out about the selective disclosure and immediately put out a press release indicating the information to the market. They even went so far as to self-report the incident to the SEC staff and otherwise provided cooperation with the staff's investigation, all with the end result being that they avoided any action by the SEC or any penalty at all. And I think the SEC commented in that action that the company in that case cultivated an environment of compliance. And so it's both. You need to have the program, and then you can't just put it in a file drawer and ignore it. You have to socialize it internally, and then enforce it and have a plan if selective disclosure, whether intentional or just a mistake, comes out, and how to then remedy that, because I think that'll matter to the SEC.
So last question then. We have seen a lot of compliance officer angst over inadvertent disclosure by social media, the Facebook posts and the Twitters and items like that, and a lot of worry that there's a lack of guidance about exactly how you're supposed to handle those means of communication. Do you have any advice on how to get through what seems to be a very gray area at the moment?
Sure. I think the first aspect of that is really beyond the legal ramifications, and maybe a little bit beyond FD, but I think most corporations these days work closely with their PR departments or outside agencies to track stories that could appear on Facebook or YouTube or other sites, and just keep up with, whether it's through alerts or otherwise, to make sure that if there's rumors floating around on these social media type of sites, whether it's internally driven, which I'll get to in a second, or more likely external with respect to investors, I think there are ways to find out about that type of thing within minutes, and then the company can take the appropriate steps. That's not really the FD point, but I think that is happening out there more and more. On the FD side, I think the best advice I would give to clients in terms of educating officers on this, we just talked about a policy and having a policy around FD, is think about those social networking sites, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever, as being sites that are equivalent to sitting down in a private setting with an analyst. In other words, if you're typing a message on a blog or typing in front of your computer, you're obviously alone. But once that gets transmitted over the internet, in effect, it's gone out in a way that could be viewed as selective disclosure, because only certain people are going to read it. So sometimes there are gray areas here, but to me, I would be conservative, and I would tell my officers and people who have sensitive material information about the company, treat those settings and what you do, you know, outside of work and otherwise, as if you were sitting in a private setting in a conference room physically with somebody else, and then act accordingly without, I would even go so far as to say without even talking about company affairs at all, but certainly not talking about material non-public information or posting material non-public information about the company.
All right. Jeff, that's all the time we have today, but you gave us plenty to think about and covered a lot of ground, so thank you very much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
And again, everybody, that was Jeff Delaney, a partner at the law firm of Pillsbury Shaw, talking with us about several new enforcement actions from the SEC over regulation fair disclosure and what that might mean. That's all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join us again next time.